Good morning. Court Radio is now in session.
Welcome to Court Radio.
Call 1-800-359-1479.
And the lines are alight.
When you've got legal questions.
Do I have any legal recourse?
What are my rights in this situation?
Is that valid?
And I'm just wondering, what is the statute of limitations?
We've got the answer.
You can whip your pictures out in court and say, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Right. This is Court Radio.
Let me go get the popcorn. This sounds like fun.
And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. This is Dean Weitzman, your host for Court Radio on 100.3 WRMB Radio. We're here 7 to 8 every Sunday morning, knocking it out of the park, answering legal questions, and providing legal entertainment. Joined in the studio by my co-host, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
Hello, Dave.
Post turkey coma.
There you go.
That's the words for the day.
Yeah. Did you slip into a coma?
No, actually.
On the couch?
No, because I was busy making the other people go into a coma.
I see.
Yeah, I was cooking the turkey.
Yeah, I'm not a turkey cooker. I don't do Thanksgiving. My sister does that. So that's her holiday.
Yeah, that's my holiday.
That's your holiday.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's the best holiday.
There you go.
For a lot of reasons, but you know.
A true American.
Yeah, true. That's right.
And now that Mr. Obama's back in the White House, you don't have to become a Canadian.
That's right. I don't have to, or European or something else.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't think you'd have gone to Europe. You'd probably just gone north. Or knowing you, maybe south. Mexico.
And knowing me?
Yeah.
Why? I'm more cold, you know, skier type.
Oh, okay.
But I do like warm, too, actually, so...
You'd have been bi-coastal. 215-263-1003 gets you into the studio, folks, where we'll answer your legal question. But remember, one question and one question only. Once you've asked it and we've answered it, you're going bye-bye. But you can always try to get back in the queue again, and we'll see what happens. 215-263-1003. And... We'll do our best to get your question on today. So, David, I was checking out this story this morning on our drive-in, before our drive-in, because I don't text or check stuff out while driving.
No, of course not.
But there's a guy named Bowman, and for folks who don't know him, he was an aide to House of Representatives Jonathan Purcell, which is the Republican representative who was indicted for shenanigans, political shenanigans, you know, taking money from people that he shouldn't have been taking it, or services that he didn't pay for in the election process. You know, these guys, they would get people to do things for them worth millions of dollars in the election process, not declare it, you know, and pay for things with state money. And, it was a mess. But anyway, did you know that in that process, the prosecutors, the Attorney General's Office of Pennsylvania, gave immunity to 87 staffers for the politicos? 87 staffers got immunity, and they came in and gave up their bosses.
That shows you how much prosecutors want to get the high up.
Oh, yeah.
The high profile people.
So 87 ladies and men,
all who had information, obviously.
Had info,
right.
Yeah, on their bosses. They dropped a dime on them faster than you can say hello, and so they all did that. Now, one of them, just one out of all the staffers in the state, he didn't get immunity. He got prosecuted. His name is Bowman.
Oh, is that it? Just Bowman?
Bowman.
That's it. No other
name.
Bowman.
It's some other name. I think it's Al.
Al Bowman.
Al Bowman.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
And Al didn't get...
So he didn't get it. Why?
No. Why?
Why?
Okay, here's what he alleges. He has a law firm, K&L Gates. They're out of Pittsburgh. Huge law firm, 1,400 lawyers, something like that. Yeah, 1,400 all over the world. K&L Gates.
I already don't like them.
Yeah, I know. I know you don't.
With that many lawyers.
So this law firm, K&L Gates, it was alleged...
It's always alleged.
Yeah, yes. Of course they paid him already, so
the case is over before anyone even heard about it. That's why we're bringing it up.
Okay, so this law firm, they represented a whole mess of people who were in this Republican shenanigans.
Which we might add, I'll say it first, that's a conflict. Mm-hmm. But when you represent more than one defendant in a either something that's a conspiracy or, you know, related criminal activity, you really can't, as a law firm, represent more than one defendant.
That is correct. But law firm gets you to sign this waiver that says, hey, we might have a conflict, but, you know, we'll do the best we can. And you agree that it's okay for us to represent 300 people in this prosecution who may have information against one another. But, you know, we're not going to use that to hurt you.
And why would they do that? Well, law firm.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
Cha-ching!
There you
Thank
go.
You. Because Thank they're you. Getting paid times 10, times 20, times 30, however many people they're representing. And guess who's paying for them?
Well, it's certainly not the staffers.
No.
They don't have money to do
Bowman,
that.
He was making like $4.50. I mean, he doesn't have money for this. We are, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, until there's actually an indictment, until these cats are actually prosecuted, the pre-indictment investigatory period is paid for by the citizens of the state of Pennsylvania.
So you mean the target, before the target is indicted?
That's correct.
The bigger person.
No. No, in this case, anybody. Before Bowman got indicted.
Well, all the staffers got immunity, so they were never going to be indicted.
They were never going to be indicted.
So all the work that they did for those people is fully funded by the state.
All funded.
So the firm makes God knows how much money.
Well, I'm going to tell you how much. The K&L Gates, just on this one prosecution, made about $2.5 million before there was ever the first indictment.
Jeez. Okay, so what is the issue? Why is this such an interesting story, though? Because that's interesting in itself.
Yeah.
But there's more.
Oh, yes. The K&L Gates firm wants to curry favor, so says Bowman, with the Republican mucky mucks, you know, like the governor and his friends up in Harrisburg.
And they were the ones.
Because there's going to be other prosecutions.
They were the ones, right.
They all do something illegal eventually.
They're the ones who are being investigated.
All right.
So the firm represents.
They often do something illegal. I won't say always. You know, you start talking about always, you're going to be wrong. They frequently do things that prosecutors like to prosecute.
All right. So Bowman, let's get back to it. So Bowman is represented by this firm.
The firm wants new business.
Right.
So they decide that they're going to throw Bowman under the bus. They tell Bowman.
Allegedly.
They tell Bowman, hey, the state's not ready to talk to you. Meanwhile, the state's saying to them, hey, you know, we want to talk to Bowman. He's got all this great information. And then they tell the state, Bowman, he's on the fence.
He doesn't know if he wants to talk.
He sealed his lips up, and he's in John Purcell's camp, and he won't cut a deal with you.
Now, I presume they did this allegedly because Bowman had some really incriminating bad evidence against.
Yeah, well, he was dying.
The higher ups.
According to Bowman, he was dying to go in. 215-263-1003 gets you into the studio and I will answer your question while we're talking about corruption in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Well, so finish it up. Come to full circle. So basically the
full circle is that he never went in to testify against his boss. The state doesn't give him immunity. They actually prosecute him. He's the only one who they prosecute. And by the time he finally lawyers up with somebody who's not in bed with the Republicans,
when he realizes they threw him under the bus.
Yeah, that lawyer brings him into the state and says, he's been ready to talk to you forever.
And they say we were told he wasn't. So we're talking about a major conflict of interest. The law firm represented this guy, but
Not only a conflict of interest, but they actually acted on that conflict in a way which, you know,
against their client.
Screwed their client.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
And he ended up getting sentenced and having a criminal, having a felony record now that he didn't have to have because 87 others of them didn't. 215-263-1003. And he sues K&L Gates.
The firm.
The firm.
Right.
Alleging all this. They, of course, deny. But guess what?
They settled.
Settled.
settled, undisclosed amount.
Of course, an undisclosed amount, and you know, on the QT. I mean, you can't talk about it. If you talk about it, they're going to have to kill you.
Right, right.
215-263-1003. Do you think the state should be paying the legal fees for these guys who are being investigated and not yet indicted? And that's really the question. $4 million was paid in a time when we don't have jobs, the state's going bankrupt, the Republicans are trying to squeeze every nickel out of social services. Yeah, on the backs of poor people, on the backs of people who need the help, and they're giving legal fees to law firms in Pittsburgh to represent people who ultimately are indicted. 215-263-1003.
Wow.
Is it working for you? I don't know. I was at Philly Men Are Cooking last night. Wow, was that place hopping?
Was it?
Oh my God.
You
there was food everywhere. I was like, you know, over 19,000 calories in the first five
That's
minutes.
It's a weird time to have it. You just had Thanksgiving. People, you know, engorged their bellies. And
yeah.
Now,
well, the good
couple
thing
days
is,
later.
The good thing is, there's people from out of town, though, who get to participate in Philly Men Are Cooking every year who might not be in Philly.
Well, I suspect people are engorging their bellies everywhere in the United States on Thanksgiving. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not just Philly.
All right. So let's talk anyway. To Adrian on line one. Good morning, Adrian, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good
How
Philly
are you
name.
Both? Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. What's your question there, dear?
Yes. I have a comment. From last week's show, I happened to, when I called, it was a little bit too late. You guys had to round it up.
Okay.
And it was pertaining to, I don't like to call him officer because I don't feel as though he is an officer that protects and serves. I feel really bad for the lady that, the Latino lady that was abused by the officer. But he did the same thing to my niece, who is serving time because of him. And she's, you know, lost time with her children, a time that she get out of jail. Her children will be in coming out of high school and junior high.
Wow.
And,
well, did he wrongfully arrest her or did he punch her?
She was wrongfully accused of him. Him and his partner punched her.
Adrian, turn your radio down so we can hear you better.
Him and his partner punched her and spit on her and her girlfriend. And it was a domestic violent little situation between two females, which was allegedly her girlfriend became an officer.
How long ago was she indicted and convicted?
This just was last year. It happened at Scooter's Lounge that used to be called Scooter's. There's no longer Scooters.
The famous Scooters Lounge.
Famous.
Scooters Lounge.
Kyle knows it well.
Many people have been arrested and indicted, right?
Exactly. They never identified that they was police officers in the beginning of the whole situation. And, you know, she took it upon herself to protect herself, which I would have done, too, if a 6-foot big man attacked me with civilian clothes on. And he got into a situation that wasn't none of his business between two females.
Yeah, you know,
his
officers. So, Adrian, are you just calling for a comment, or do you have a question regarding your?
I have a comment on the fact that they want to give him his position back, where that he's supposed to protect and serve, to protect and serve, not protect and serve. Now he didn't. He served her. He served and beat. That's two different serving.
Okay,
served
you
up.
Understand where I'm coming
whooping.
From?
Yeah. So your comment is, and I'll paraphrase for you that that the officer who beat the Latino woman, he has a history of beating. This just happens to be the first one that actually got videotaped, and because of that. This is not a single mistake by a decorated officer. This is a repeated crime by an evil man who deserves not to be back in uniform. Sounds fair?
It sounds completely fair.
There you go.
Be back in uniform. I wouldn't want him to protect and serve nobody that I know of after what he did to my niece and that Latino lady. God only knows what they the sweep them, swept under the swept under the rug from previous things that he may not even, you know, nobody surfaced about.
Right. And the good question is, can your niece now, even if it's late, can she file an appeal alleging the facts, you know, that he got on her and she was defending herself? Now that it's a known commodity that he's a beater, the question is whether she can file an appeal, even a late appeal of her conviction. And for that, she'll need to give us a call during the week, where we could be reached at 215-227-2727. Our crack team of criminal defense lawyers can always look into these things, meet with her, and figure out whether she's able to file a late appeal. Adrian, thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday. 215-263-1003, folks, gets you into the studio where David and I'll give it our best shot. 215-263-1003. We were talking about Republican shenanigans.
Well, here.
Go ahead, David.
I have a quick one for you. Not necessarily Republican or Democrat, but wasting money. There was an investigative report that just came out about the Philadelphia traffic court. What do you think their conclusion was?
I don't know. What was their conclusion?
That there's rampant ticket fixing. That there are two tracks of justice, one for the connected and another for the unwitting general public. Is that a revelation? I mean, that we had to actually spend taxpayers' dollars to figure that one out. That's been known for as long as I've been a lawyer.
And then the question is, do we want to change it? You know, we talk about wanting to change it.
It never has,
but
ever.
Do we really want to change it? I'd love to hear from folks who call in on that one. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you. I mean, I'm sure the statute of limitations is long gone. And the politician's probably dead.
Do you want to hire me? You're going to retain my services before you say that?
When I was like 17 or 18 years old and I got a ticket, I don't even remember what it was for, okay? But, you know, you got your ticket and you went to the committee person in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. and the committee person took the ticket somewhere.
Right.
Okay, you don't know.
It disappeared.
It went to, in my case, there was like a state rep or something. His name was Max Pievsky, and you went to Max. Hey, Max, can you take care of the ticket? And Max took care of the ticket. I mean, you know, maybe you got a lesser fine.
Money was involved, though, as far as you paid a fine.
No.
You paid a fine, though.
Oh, I might have. But what I'm saying is I didn't pay to have the ticket fixed.
Oh, no.
It was a service that he did for his constituents,
right,
who voted for him.
Well, here's my point was going to be this. You do this, too, and I've done it, Dean. We represent people who've gotten tickets sometimes where you go to the municipality or you go to Philadelphia, wherever, you go to the police officer routinely, almost 100% of the time. What will they do? They'll knock the ticket down to a lesser offense, maybe, so it doesn't get
a non-point violation.
But all that, and you have to pay a fine. They want the money. So is that any different? Isn't that ticket fixing too, in a way? Because they're just giving these tickets out rampantly. They just want the money from them. Let's face it, it's just a ticket. It's a summary offense. It's not a big deal.
Folks, if you're listening to David and I at 215-263-1003, what do you think about ticket fixing? Is it really a crime? Should we allow it? Should we turn a blind eye to it? Should we spend, here's a question, millions of dollars to investigate these traffic court judges and their staff all over the possibility? Well, it's not a possibility. We know that, political favors are done, but you know, so are favors done for Joe Schmo who come in with a lawyer and they favor them by taking the ticket down to something which is not really a point violation.
Why do you think the investigation is being done right now? Why do you think? You want to talk political? We have a Republican.
I don't know. Why?
Well, Castile was the one who came out. Supreme Court Justice Castile, a known Republican, came out with the conclusion. He was the one who said, you know, rampant. We have a Republican legislature, basically, in Pennsylvania, and you have a Democratic-run system in Philadelphia. So, of course, they're going to investigate. They know it's going on, and they want to, you know, slap someone in the butt for it.
They want to embarrass.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, it's not much of an embarrassment. We know it goes on. We turn a blind eye to it. We participate in it. When we get a ticket, we run to our congressman or our state rep not that high up. I guess we run to the committee person. That's who we go to. We go to Kyle. We say, hey, Kyle, can you take care of this?
All you have to do is buy him like a hoagie or something, and he's there. Yeah. You go, your ticket's done.
215-263-1003. Is a hoagie too much to pay Kyle for a ticket? Let's talk to Michael from Overbrook. Good morning, Michael, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. Thank you.
You're welcome.
One question and one comment, please.
All right. What's your comment?
My dad passed about 15 years ago, and the property that he owned with my mother is still in his name. I'm wondering, would there be a problem, like, I guess, when and if she passes and the property is still in hers and his name? Should I, you know, she had told me to go to the city hall and get my name put on the deed. I mean, it's not really important to me, but I'm thinking, would it cause a problem later on, or
yes,
how would I go about that?
Well, what happens is that technically you have to raise an estate over at the Register of Wills office in Philadelphia for your father, and then you'd have a in that process of raising an estate, you'd transfer the title from mom and dad to mom, and you'd do a new will, and it'd be in her name only. And then you could do a new will and put your name on it. But each of these are separate steps. And when mom passes, you're going to need to raise an estate from mom. You know, right now, the way it is, you'd have to, if and when mom passes, you'd have to raise an estate for your dad and then raise an estate for your mom. And all of this paperwork would need to be done. Is it a problem? No, it's a problem when you don't do it for 10 generations. And you say, well, my great, 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 great grandfather owned this property, but we never got it out of his name. Well, then, you know, then you don't have dates and times and places. It becomes a problem. But, you know, you have to raise the various estates so that everybody gets their tax dollars that they're looking for. In this instance, it's a tax-free transaction because Pennsylvania doesn't charge an inheritance tax between spouses. So that's not a problem.
You need a death certificate, basically, is the most important document for your father.
Yeah.
And
right, I have that. So
a title company.
The thing you're saying, then, is just to have it changed to her name and
yes,
lose it as that?
Yeah, for now. Yeah. And then if you yes, want to put your name on it, you can. And
so I'm not really in a hurry for that. I just wanted to make whatever's easier for the.
Yeah, you can give us. You can give it, Michael. You can give us a call during the week. One of our attorneys specializes in estate practice. His name is Saul, S-A-U-L. But by all means, give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727, and we can handle that for you.
I appreciate it. And I have a comment on ticket fixing.
Go for it.
I also agree that it's probably something that's never going to go away. In the early 70s, when I was in college, I drove a cab part-time. I was getting speeding and reckless driving tickets left and right, and I was paying them. I didn't want them to accumulate. I then got a job with the city, and I didn't want the tickets to follow me. And I had like $1,000 worth of tickets on my record. I thought when you paid a ticket that it goes away. Unfortunately, what that means is that you said you're guilty. I had $1,000 worth of tickets, and I paid my committee $500, and I got a receipt for each ticket, basically receipt saying that the ticket had been thrown out, and it had to be at least 15 or 20 tickets. So I just wanted to make a comment that it's something that's been going on, and I don't think it's going to go away.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for taking the
yep,
call.
All right. 215-263-1003. Do you have tickets that you got fixed? You know, you can even call anonymously, and we promise you, we will not try to voice match you to the database we have here at Radio 1. 215-263-1003. You know, do we want to spend money? I mean, really, in this time of austerity, do we want the Republicans or anybody to spend a whole lot of money investigating ticket fixing when we know it's been going on since time immemorial and will probably go on forever? I mean, there are certain things, I guess, David, which are not right. Like if a politician is getting fat over, you know, getting money to fix tickets.
Well, that's different.
That's different.
That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
That's accepting money. Yeah.
That's a bribe. And
yeah. That's
not a good thing.
But just going and saying.
But as a constituent service,
right, right,
if you called your committee person, your state rep, your whatever, and said, look, I'm willing to make a deal or something, but can you, you know, pave the way for me? Can you go, can
throw
you
it out
make
or
a phone call, right, and let them know that I'm a good guy? Can you advocate on my behalf as a politician, not as a lawyer. And the answer is, I think, that it's been going on forever, and it'll continue to go on forever.
I don't think there's anything wrong with making, you know, having a committee person or someone make that call and say, can you, you know, either get rid of this ticket or throw. But the money transaction is definitely an illegal thing. That has to be looked at.
Right.
But if that's not going on, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
There you go. David Rappaport.
That's me. I've spoken.
He has spoken. Laid down the law and said, stop.
So it is written, so let it be done.
Stop the investigating. 215-263-1003. David, when we come back from break, which we're going on shortly.
We have a guest.
There you go. I gave you your notice.
You gave me notice. Now I can't be angry.
Right.
Oh.
When we shut your mic off. 215-263-1003. We have a guest who's going to... He's like the head of this company that has unending amounts of cash. They just...
In fact, I see it coming out of his pockets right
now. They manufacture cash. And his company gives out money for free. No, not for free.
Please.
For a hefty price. A hefty price to folks who have a case.
You shouldn't say give out money. They
loan money? Advance.
They advance money for people who need it. In a time when, you know, they're desperate and they have to get money, and it's based upon their case, and later on they get paid back with, you know, some interest, and we'll explore that.
But. Yes, we will. It is for folks who have an open case, an open personal injury case, where they expect to make a
some recovery.
Yeah, a recovery at the end of the claim.
Right.
But they have a need now to pay some bills. And maybe they can't work because of their case, or maybe they're just behind a little bit. And the holidays are coming. How many clients, David, you've got 15 seconds, do you get calling you this time of year?
Oh, my God. This time of year?
This time of year.
Countless. I can't tell you how many.
Yeah.
And it's obvious why.
215-263-1003. We'll be right back after this station break.
It happened suddenly. You fell hard and your body's broken. You haven't worked in months. Your medical bills are piling up and there's no one to take care of your kids. I'm Dean Weitzman of My Philly Lawyer. Call us at 215-227-2727. For more than 30 years, we've battled for people just like you by making insurance companies pay. Call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. We fight for people who can't fight for themselves. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning, folks. If you're listening to Court Radio, you've got some legal questions. You can reach David and I in the studio at 215-263-1003. 215-592-9803, where we'll do our best to answer your questions or get you someone who can. 215-263-1003. This morning we were talking about Republican shenanigans and the state paying. You know, I'm surprised we didn't get more comments about that. The state has paid $4 million on the Jonathan Purcell investigation to the lawyers representing the folks before they got indicted. After indictment, you're on your own. But pre-indictment, the state pays up whatever needs to be paid. And they kind of, you know, the parties pay to law firms or hire law firms or suggest people hire law firms that the party has, you know, a good relationship with. Let's put it that way. And the Republicans have a good relationship with a firm called K&L Gates out of Pittsburgh, who represented multiple people, definitely a conflict, and one of them actually alleges he got screwed by that conflict.
Yeah, I would suspect this happened. You know, Democrats do this too. Let's be fair about it.
It's
something that happens in at the state level that, you know, should be looked into. Maybe that should be investigated. The actual, you know, what you're talking about should be investigated. But who would investigate that? It would have to be federal.
You mean using law firms,
yeah,
to pay for multiple people? Yeah. Yeah, I think that it should be, this is the way I think you get around this, is that the person should have to, should be able to go out. You should not recommend a law firm. The person should go out and get their own lawyer, and no two people should have the same law firm.
Right.
If the lawyer, if the law firm's only making a small fee on a single client, they're less likely to, and there's no conflict. So, I mean, there's things we could do to fix this system, so to speak. I don't know if they have an interest in it, because the law firms are the places where the politicians are going to get money for their right, campaign war chest.
Right.
You know? Right. Anyway, 215-263-1003. We're joined in the studio by Brian Walters. Good morning, Brian, and welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
You know, Brian is the, well, are you like the chief executive officer, the president?
I'm the president, yes.
The president. He's the president of a company called Lawsuit Funding Solutions. That might sound familiar because they're a sponsor for Court Radio. See, we readily recognize our connections right away. You
yes,
know, we get cash from Brian so he can advertise on Court Radio, but I have to say, you guys do a fabulous job. I don't recommend my clients really engage in a relationship with you, however.
Now,
is that a problem?
No, it's not a problem. You know, the one thing is, you know, we give out cash advances to plaintiffs, and Dean's right. It's something that shouldn't be recommended. It's something that should really be needed at the end of the day. And as David said over here earlier, it's something when a client is desperate. It's something when a client is about to get evicted. If you know, their mortgage hasn't been paid for 3 months, that's the time when lawsuit funding should be used. It's really not something I always tell people jokingly. If you're going out to buy a 52-inch TV to watch the Eagles, which I don't think too many people are these days anyway, but
exactly.
If you're going out to buy a 52-inch TV with this money, this really isn't the right money for you. It's probably, you should go probably borrow that from an uncle, cousin, or something like that. But if you need money and you need money and you're about to get foreclosed on your house, that's when it's time to call me and get some money from us for our services.
Where do they call you?
They can call us anytime. I mean, it's, you know, we're based at 15th and Chestnut. We also have an office out in Jenkintown, but our number is 215-599-6545, and that's 24/7. They can call us anytime. I'll take down their information and we'll try to get them some money.
See, here's the deal. I, you know, back in the day, I've been practicing law and representing injured people for over 25 years now, a long time. And when I started practicing law, and David, probably when you did as well, clients would call us for money, and there weren't companies like your company, Brian.
Right.
There was no lawsuit funding. And they'd say, hey, Dean, you know my case is going to settle. It's going to settle soon. Can you give me a few thousand dollars and then just take it back when the case settles?
They still do it.
They still do
it. They still ask
not
that
as often.
But we're not allowed to do that. Why? Why are we not allowed to do
it? It's unethical. We can't invest like that in your case. We can invest our time and our energy, and we're allowed to advance costs. But we can't invest, because what happens, folks, when we invest in your case? I'll lend my client $5,000. Now it comes time to settle the case. And the client and the case is, it's got some issues. You know, every case does. I might lose, but I've got $5,000 of my own money in the case. Well, I'm going to tell my client, look, there's an offer on the table, and I really think, you know, it's a fair offer, and you should take it. And I'm saying that maybe because I don't want to lose my $5,000.
Right.
And so I'm not giving my client the best information, because maybe the offer is not a good enough offer. And maybe we really should roll the dice and proceed to the jury. And, you know, Brian doesn't have a choice in that matter. He doesn't get to call and say, hey, has there been an offer on the case, Dean? Take that offer. No. Brian lays his money out on the file. And if he doesn't win, if we don't win, Brian, what do you get back?
We get zero. So that's the biggest thing for us, is we're taking, I call it a gamble on the case being successful. If we put up $5,000 and unfortunately that case goes south and we lose, we're out $5,000 and that client does not have to pay us anything back. The collateral for us, unlike a bank where they could, you know, you have to put up your car, your house or anything like that, our collateral is simply the case. And if that case is a loser, at the end of the day, that client has to pay us $0 back at that $5,000.
Well, yeah, to be clear, because of that, there's two things. First, you do a little bit of investigation before. You're not just going to give money on every single case.
No, correct. Right. You know, the two things that we look for is obviously if it's a strong case, but the biggest thing that we look at is the attorney or the firm. And for instance, we look at Dean and say, okay, Dean is one of the best attorneys in the city of Philadelphia, if not the state of Pennsylvania. We're in. You know, where it's a NVA case. The guy got rear-ended. The driver behind him was texting or whatever he was doing, and it's, you know, you got some substantial injuries. We'll put up $5,000 on that right. case, but we're not going to really do it for any kind of case. We're not going to do it for any kind of attorney. If I don't know the attorney and the attorney's out of wherever, Pennsylvania, we'll look at it, but we're not, you know, we're going to look at it much more carefully and much more easier when it's someone like Dean, who is one block away from our office. You know, if things are out in Pittsburgh, it's a little hard for us to underwrite. So we really focus on the Delaware Valley around here and attorneys around the Delaware Valley. So those are the two things that we look at.
Right. 215-263-1003. We've got to take some calls. Let's talk to Greg from Philly, who wants to recover property. Good morning, Greg, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
What's your question, sir?
I'm trying to find out. I was living with a young lady. You know, we had a problem. And we split up. And at that time, changed the locks on the door, and I was trying to get my stuff back out. And right now, it's almost been a year, and I still couldn't get it out. And I went to Jersey to try to go to court, and I have to pay almost like $300 just to get paperwork done to try to get into court.
Well, the first question I would have is, you were living in an apartment. Whose name was the lease in?
It was in her name.
Just her name.
How much? Let me ask you this. What's the value? What do you, just give me a thumbnail sketch. What's the value of the property that you allege is yours in her apartment?
At least $2,500.
All right. $2,500. Okay. So let me tell you that for $2,500, you're going to spend, like you said, $300 to get into court. Now, it sounds awfully high, but I mean, in Jersey, who knows? In Philadelphia, if you're going to small claims court, it might be 50, it might be 100 bucks, 100. You know, and you're in court. You're saying in Jersey, to get into small claims court or district court, you're going to have to pay a few hundred dollars. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. And then once you get a judgment, let's say you go to court, you get a judgment. Now, she doesn't want to pay you. And so now you have to collect that judgment. You might have to get the sheriff to go out. The bottom line is that it costs money to chase money. And if the money you're chasing isn't enough, it may not be worth pursuing. You may want to try to shortchange the process and go to the police and say that, you know, she has stolen your property. You gave it to her for safekeeping and she refuses to give it back. They may prosecute, they may make a phone call, they may not.
You got to prove it's your property though. So you need to have it. I mean, I don't know how you do that unless you have an actual receipt.
Well, I have all the paperwork, from when I bought the stuff.
Good.
All
right. Well, then that's it.
I think you may want to go to the police, and because she has committed a criminal act by failing to give you your property back. She is, in essence, stolen your property. They may not get involved in it, but it's certainly worth a try since you don't want to spend the $300 to file it civilly. All right?
It's quicker.
All right.
All right, Greg, thanks for calling Court Radio. Glad we can help you. 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Jerome from New Jersey about a vehicle. Yo, Jerome, welcome to Court Radio.
Wow. Good morning, sir.
Hey.
Wow.
Yeah. He is so impressed. He got to actually speak to us.
Yeah. This is the first for me, sir. I do appreciate your time.
All right, go ahead. What's your question?
I purchased a vehicle from a dealership, and when I did the contract and everything, I had addressed to them that the vehicle price was kind of high, but they put it to me because of the type of vehicle it is that I was supposed to get incentives back from, rebates from being a so-called hybrid type of vehicle. So I had addressed to them, well, I'm going to go to my bank because my bank will do right by me and let me know if this vehicle costs too much. So I'm signing the paperwork. I go through my bank, and the bank addressed to me that the vehicle is not worth the amount of money that they asked for. So when I go back there to address it to the dealership, they informed me that I had signed some papers with their bank. I was like, well, I don't remember signing that. And I had addressed to you that I was going through with my bank. And I said that my bank says that this is too much money and I don't want the vehicle.
Okay.
As it went on, I walked out the store and I went back to them and I said, listen, the type of job that I have is federal. My credit needs to stay outstanding. You need to drop this payment down as much as possible. At first he refused. He said, you own this car, it is what it is. And then when I started walking out, he turns around and said, well, Mr. Thorpe, come on back. We'll drop it down $4,000. I said, I'm not happy with that. I said, I will sign it, but I will take you to court because I want to make sure I'll be able to make my payments. I go ahead and sign it. The next day after, I get a letter from that financial department that I had the so-called sign with stating that I was never owner of the car because they didn't approve me for that loan either. That dealership, in my belief, that knew that, but they never told me because they wanted to keep me at a certain amount of money to get out of me. And all the stuff, the charges that they had put on this new car that I purchased from them, it's about $11,000.
Did you ever actually take possession of the car, or was the deal denied and you walked away without the car?
The sign and what they call it, he said it was called considered a sign and drive. So I did take possession of the car when I drove it off the lot and everything.
But did you have to bring it back after they said that you couldn't get the deal done?
They never told me that the deal was never done. That's what I'm trying to say. They put it to me that I own the car. They said, when I went back to talk to them, they said, you own the car, Mr. Dawg.
Well, who are you making payments to then?
I don't want to say they're the dealers. It's considered, allegedly, the most fuel-efficient hybrid car.
No, wait. Listen, if no one financed your purchase, are you telling us that you're actually paying the dealer directly?
No, sir. I'm paying that financial institution that they went through.
But they didn't approve you.
Obviously, they did.
Yeah, obviously, they did approve
you. They didn't approve me for the first amount, which was about $40,000.
Okay.
But when I went back.
Let me ask you this. Here's the question. What's your damages? What is it you want? What are you calling for? What's your question?
Well, I would like to try my best to recoup that $11,000 that they are charging me. Because in reality, I never owned the car. They lied to me.
Okay, but you own it now, right?
You have it.
Yes, sir. I've been paying on it for a year. I have tried to seek legal counseling, but they said that the type of contract that I signed with them denies me to even take these guys to court.
Let me say this. Here's what I see is the big problem. While you recognize all the issues, you made something that makes it almost impossible for you to do anything. That is, you said before, I didn't want to do this, and I thought it was wrong, but I signed it anyway. Why you would do that is beyond me. The fact that you signed it means that you read it and you understood it. In fact, you're telling us you understood it because you didn't want to agree to it, but you signed anyway. And now that you've signed and took possession of the car, You're going to be hard-pressed to get out of that, my friend.
Yeah, this is, unfortunately, we put this down into the sour grapes category.
Right.
You know, once you eat the grapes, it really shouldn't be complaining that they're sour. You know, after the first one especially, you knew they were sour. So here's the problem. As David said, you signed a contract, the contract's binding, and a lot of these contracts forbid you to even bring a lawsuit, right, David?
Right. I mean, yeah, that's arbitration clause.
They have arbitration clauses. So what the contract says is you can't sue us. You have to go to AAA arbitration, or you have to go through some process that's not in the court system if you have a dispute. Now, you may have a dispute, and there may even be a way to get out of the contract, but it isn't going to be through the court system if there's a clause in that contract that forbids the filing of a lawsuit. And you're going to have to pay a lawyer by the hour to represent you in a case such as this. Nobody's taking it on a contingent fee basis. This is not a bodily injury lawsuit. This is a contract dispute. And so you're going to reach into your pocket probably well more than 11 grand at the end of the day. And unfortunately, that's the way this thing goes. I mean, we represent people on contract disputes. Usually our fees are over $50,000 when it's all said and done, because it takes forever and the attorney's time is rather expensive, and nobody's paying it but you. So unless the amount in controversy is substantial, unfortunately, these smaller contract matters are cost prohibitive. But thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday, and keep driving that car.
You
really don't have a choice at this point. 215-263-1003. We're talking to Brian Walters. Brian is the president of Lawsuit Funding Solutions, one of those firms that makes loans to folks who have personal injury cases. And in fact, if you have a personal injury case and you need some lawsuit funding right now, you can reach Brian at www.lawsuitfundingsolutions.com. Lawsuitfundingsolutions.com.
So I have a question. Why is it not considered, we've been purposely not using the term loan. What's the difference between a loan and what you do?
Well, the big difference is kind of what I alluded to before is if you lose your case, you owe us absolutely nothing back. So this would be considered non-recourse funding. Whereas a bank, you have a loan, you have a mortgage. When you lose that house, the bank can still go after you.
Right.
You know, when you borrow $100,000 from a bank, things go south. They have collateral that they're going to obviously then go after you on. For us, it's different. We consider it a cash advance. We never say the word loan. So the big thing for us is we'll look at a case. The only collateral for us is that specific case. If the case is a loser, there's absolutely nothing we can do. You know, if we give you $100,000, if we give you $250, the case is a loss. We're out. So we're basically taking a gamble on the case being successful. If it goes the wrong way, there's no one that we can blame except for ourselves. So that's where it's the difference between recourse, which is a bank, and non-recourse, which is us. But in turn, and you guys were kind of going before, a bank charges anywhere between 5 and 6%. Credit cards charge all the way up to 18%. We charge 2 to 3% per month. Now you annualize that, that's 24 to 36%. That's a big chunk of change right there. So that's where you guys were saying if you're desperate and if you really need the money, that's what you should do. And, you know, as Dean and David will tell you, some of these cases will take 2-3 years. What are people supposed to do in those 2 to 3 years to pay the bills if they're unable to work, if they have a back injury, shoulder injury, whatever it may be? They're making X amount of dollars per year. Now their funds are diminished. That's where we step in and help them out. So that's the big thing for us, and that's the difference between recourse and non-recourse funding.
All right, you touched upon it. You charge by the month 2%, you said?
2 to 3%, correct.
2 to 3%, okay. And you so if I borrow $1,000,
right?
Okay, and I borrow from you today, and I pay you back in a few months, what am I going to end up paying you back?
If you paid us back in 6 months, you're probably going to owe us $1,300. So it's $1,000 plus the interest of $300. It's we charge a $150 fee on that, plus then that 2.5, call it, just to keep it in the middle, 2.5% interest. You're looking at $1,000 of paying us, obviously, the principal back, plus $300 of interest.
All right, that doesn't sound bad.
No.
That's in 6 months.
That's in 6 months.
How about if I borrow $1,000, but I can't pay you back for 2 years because my lawyer's case just keeps going on and on?
Well, the good thing about us, and not a lot of companies do this, I actually don't know anyone who does this, but we will cap what you owe. The whole problem with lawsuit funding that people find is you borrow $1,000, and Dean and David, you probably have some examples of this maybe 5 or 6 years ago. You borrow $1,000, somehow your client owes $2,600. Now,
exactly.
I like math. I can't even figure out how that gets to that point. But the thing we'll do is you borrow $1,000, the most you're ever going to owe from lawsuit funding is $1,800. Now, still, that's $800 on top of your principal, but you at least have some assurance, the attorney has some assurance that their client isn't going to get completely hammered and that the meter is going to keep rolling and rolling until the case gets done. And the problem is, you know, the client is going to call David and Dean and complain and say, hey, get this case done. I owe Brian Walters X amount of dollars. Not for us. Once you hit a certain amount, that's it. You won't owe anymore.
I actually felt that pressure. You're exactly right. I've had companies other than yours that I've dealt with that have exactly done what you said.
It makes my job a lot harder.
Keeps going up.
And David, that's why we at Court Radio and my Philly lawyer, we vetted out Brian Walters and his company thoroughly, and we found them to be honorable and reasonable in this venue. Now, again, folks, this is not something we're going to recommend. This is not like, hey, it's free money. Go get some money, and it's the holidays, and let's buy some gifts for your kids. No, this is a last resort funding option. But when you got to do it, there are definitely differences between the companies that do this type of funding.
Yep.
And there are better and worse companies. And Lawsuit Funding Solutions is the best at what they do. So if you need a loan, if you need to get an advance on your case, you can reach Brian Walters and his team at www.lawsuitfundingsolutions.com or 215-599-6545. 599-6545.
Or you recommend it to your lawyer.
Yeah.
If it's not us.
You
say to your lawyer, I want to use Lawsuit Funding Solutions.
The three people listening now who have a different lawyer than us, they should call their lawyer and talk about Lawsuit Funding Solutions and make that referral for their attorney to call Brian. But, have you had any cases, Brian, that really touched your heart that were, like, you know, the lawyer shared with you some information, you knew that people were really up against it?
Yeah, you know, the biggest one that we did was we had a major, major car accident. Unfortunately, the husband passed away, and it was, he was a father of three, early 30s, and it was a stay-at-home mom. Well, he was the obviously breadwinner, and the case lasted a good 2 years. Well, during those 2 years, the other thing we did was instead of giving them a full lump sum where they're going to spend it on X, Y, and Z, what we do is we basically will pay a stipend per month, and we work with the attorney directly to figure out what the correct amount is, and that would be the rent, that would be the gas bill, that would be the cable bill, whatever it may be. And it's putting food on the table for the kids. And I don't want to go into details of the case, but it hurt on exactly how the car accident happened and what happened. But it's one of those where I read the complaint, and that one hurt. So, you know, you read those. I have two small kids, and for us to put the money in, and I know what the settlement was at the end of the day, it made me feel great that we were able to get those people to the finish line, I always say. You know, we're there to help you get over the goal line, to the finish line, whatever it may be, and not be able to not sleep at night because you don't know where the money is coming from to put, you know, to pay the rent, to put food on the table, et cetera, et cetera. So that was one where I actually felt great about that we were able to help this mom out with her three kids to get the settlement they obviously deserved.
Job well done, Brian. Yeah. Job well done.
That's good.
All right, folks, if you're listening to Court Radio, you can reach us at 215-263-1003. Let's take, let's go to Rosa Brown on line three. Hey, Rosa, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, good morning. My name is Rosa Brown.
Yep.
And I'm calling the reference. I have a situation on my job where I have dry eyes, right?
Okay.
Wow, dry eyes.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm taking prescription medication for it. But at work, I'm using these butane cans with gas in it. And my supervisor informed me that I was telling her that it irritates my eyes when I unscrew the cans. So she said to me, you know, she did a little research and stuff like that, and she talked to environmental safety. And environmental safety told her, you know, the head of clinical affairs lady told her that for me to go ahead and unscrew the cans, if it irritate my eyes, for me to go to occupational health and safety. And, you know, I was telling her, you know, it's my eyes, when I unscrew these cans, my eyes is really, really red. So I was like, you know, why would you want me to harm myself before you resolve the problem? So what I did when I got back to work, I called environmental safety myself. And they came up to where I was working, and they talked to me, and they went over to my supervisor and said to her that she had to get me SEAL safety glasses in order for me to unscrew these cans for the gas not to get into my eye.
And what's your question, Rosa?
My question is, now I'm feeling a little backlash from my supervisor because she's kind of harassing me now because I call environmental safety on her.
Okay, and what? And she making your life miserable?
She's trying to.
Okay, well, here's the deal. When you have situations like that, you want to make sure that you document it thoroughly so that, you know, if and when the day comes when you get fired and you think it's a retribution firing, that you're prepared to demonstrate through evidence that really this is not about what they're claiming, but it's really about retribution for your having called OSHA. And you really can't you can't make up that evidence, and it's important that you document it. Rosa, we'd love to talk to you more, but unfortunately we're out of time, and a big guy just walked in who's got a turkey for a belly, and his name is E. Stephen Collins, and Philly Speaks is coming up next. I want to thank Brian Walters for coming into the studio today, and Lawsuit Funding Solutions is the place to go for your advance. David, have a great week.
You too.
See you next week.
All right, take care.
Same time, same place.
That was great.
Good job. Thanks, guys.
The crash was horrible. You almost didn't make it, and now you're just hoping to be able to walk again. I'm Dean Weitzman of My Philly Lawyer. If you've been in a car, truck, or motorcycle accident, call us at 215-227-2727. For more than 30 years, we've battled for people just like you by making insurance companies pay. Call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. We fight for people who can't fight for themselves. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.